I love that song. I love that song. It's a song of praise, but there's a crazy thing about it that I love. Whenever a guy can write a song, and a lady write a song that has galaxy in it, firmament in it, and the word articulate. What a wonderful word to be in a song. I mean, you know, I absolutely love it. I love it. And don't mispronounce articulate, okay? Okay, very good. Open your Bible, if you will, to the book of Matthew, chapter 5. Whenever I say Matthew chapter 5, immediately you know you're in the Sermon on the Mount. Chapters 5, 6, and 7 of Matthew, the longest recorded sermon of the Lord Jesus Christ. Begins with what we call the Beatitudes and ends with the illustration of the wise man and the foolish man building their house upon the sand and upon the rock. And kingdom principles in between. Now, this is an interesting principle we come to today in verse 41. Matthew chapter 5, verse 41. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain or 2 miles. Now, the word mile here translated is milli, meaning 1,000. And it was 1,000 paces. People pretty much agree with that. And 1,520 yards, just short of a mile. And a principle that was introduced, as far as we can tell, by the Persians. And this was the principle that whenever a courier was on the king's business. Now, he had something like the Pony Express in this country. This is basically where that whole concept came from, was from the Persians, because whenever the king would have an announcement for orders and everything like that in a distant part of the kingdom, in a distant part of his realm, he wanted the orders to get there as quickly as possible, but he couldn't call or email or text message or anything like that. They had to be hand delivered, basically. And sometimes there were not only orders, but things that sometimes were awkward in carrying, sometimes heavy, that would have to be delivered. So this was the law, that if he got to the post where his next horse or carriage or individual was, and everything was not just as it could be, as it should be, or there was some place in between, what he could do was he could press into service a citizen, an individual, and he could confiscate the individual or their animal or their carriage or whatever. He could press that into the king's service, and they were not allowed, under severe penalty, to refuse. Now, it was, of course, quite an inconvenient thing. We see, I don't know whether this can actually be done or not, but sometimes you see in a story or something like that, the idea that a police officer is in pursuit and something happens to his car and he jumps out and stops a citizen and says, "Get out, get out, get out, I need your car," and takes that individual's car and continues the pursuit. I don't know whether indeed that happens or not, but that's the same principle today. Now, when the Persians instituted it, of course the Romans carried it over. And it is said that under the Roman rule in Judea and there in what we now call the Holy Land, and where Jesus was giving there in Galilee his Sermon on the Mount, that it was not a thing that was uncommon to them, because a Roman soldier could compel a citizen, a Jew, in that country, if he was tired of carrying whatever he had with him as he went on his way, if a soldier was tired of carrying, we'd call it a backpack, but I'm sure they didn't call it that, but mayhap. But anyway, he was carrying his equipment. He could stop a citizen at any time, and he had the right to demand that that citizen carry his burden for a mile. And Jesus said, if that happens to you, don't just go a mile. Go 2 miles. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't like that. That doesn't set too well with me. But this is Jesus' teaching of our attitude toward authority and of our attitude of surrender. Now, of course, in the scripture, we see this happen. Whenever Jesus is carrying his cross, and the soldiers are going along, and they say, hey, you, come, help this man carry his cross. Simon of Cyrene is pressed by the government of that day into service to help the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the message that I want to bring to us today from this is not our responsibility to the government and not what the government asks of us. That's not the idea of this, though the principle is truly taught here. But it's the whole idea Jesus is teaching here is that of doing more than is required. Now, I just simply ask you this. Wouldn't home be a wonderful place if the kids did more than was required? Wouldn't home be sweet and pleasant and good if the husband did more than was required? Without being asked 4 or 5 times. Wouldn't home be wonderful? I hesitate to say this because generally always wife and mama does more than is required. Most people want to do the minimum. Just get by. Just get by. Well, if I can do this much right here, if I can pick up most of the things in my room, if I can empty and carry out to the trash most of the trash cans, if, you know, just the bare minimum that has to be done just to get by. Most people live like that at school, at work, in business. But you know, it is not the individual on the ball team that does the minimum that gets the playing time and excels on the field. It's the player that runs extra laps and does extra push-ups and goes the extra mile beyond that is required. The application I want to bring to us today is in the Christian life. And I want to call this being a second mile Christian. Being a second mile Christian. Now, you know, whenever I'm talking about this, I'm not talking about going to heaven. The way you go to heaven is by trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. But I'm talking about in service for the Lord Jesus Christ. Do we do just that is required? Or do we say, I'm going to do more. I'm going to do more than what's required. You know, in this matter of that kind of thing, churches are filled with willing people. There's a few people willing to do the work and the others are willing to let them. But I want you to remember, unless you've done not just everything that's required, but unless you've done everything you can, you have not done all that you can. Most people have the attitude, well, I've done my part. I've fulfilled what's required. And that's generally the attitude that we take towards service for the Lord Jesus Christ, toward church attendance, toward giving in the church, toward serving the Lord. In every area, we say, well, I've done that's required. I think I've paid my dues. I think that's what's required of me. Now, I know I used to do this and I used to do this, but I've carried that for long enough. It's time for somebody else to carry that. I've done my part. A person who does only what he has to do is a slave. A person who does more than is required is truly free. Now, I want you to know that no one outdoes God. Can I just give you some verses? And I will not read the entire verse, but I'll just give you the reference and the thought in that verse. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 14, he speaks of the exceeding grace of God toward you. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9, it talks about the exceeding greatness of His power. It's not just the greatness of His power, it's the exceeding greatness of His power. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7, it's the exceeding riches of His grace. And in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, and that wonderful doxology that says, now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, unto Him be glory in the church, both now and forever. And that's just simply what our Lord does. That's the kind of Lord we have. That's the kind of God we serve. One who does exceeding abundantly above. I mean, it's just like He takes it to this level, and then He adds this level, and then He adds this level. Above, abundantly, exceeding abundantly above. And that's our God. What He does for us, He does beyond anything that we can imagine, and yet we're never satisfied with us. God, do more, 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 more. And that's just our cry all the time. May I say this again to all of our hearts, to mine and to yours. If God never did another thing for me, if God never answered another prayer, if God never sustained me through another difficulty, if He never did anything for me, I'm already so indebted to Him for what He has done that it'll take eternity to praise Him sufficiently for what He's already done. And yet, out of His boundless riches in Jesus, He giveth and giveth and giveth again and again and again and again. when we have exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength has failed, ere the day is half done, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's full giving has only begun. His love has no limit. His grace has no measure. His power has no boundaries known unto man. For out of His boundless riches in Jesus, He giveth and giveth and giveth and giveth. Y'all remember the wax records? Some of you laugh. Some of you say, what are you talking about? But sometimes the needle, they don't have a needle anymore. They have a little ray of light that goes on that disc now. But it had a needle. And something would happen and that needle would get stuck in one groove. And it couldn't get out of that groove. And giveth. And giveth. And giveth. If it's going to get hung, that's a good place to get hung, isn't it? And then you bump it a little bit and it says, and giveth again. Now, He's certainly a second mile God. I wonder if we could be second mile Christians. God says, now this is what I want you to do. Oh, yes, Lord, that's what I want to do. But I don't just want to do that, Lord. I want to do more. You say, well, that's crazy. Oh, really? Oh, I think not. Let me give you just some thoughts to maybe move you on a little bit. A first mile Christian eliminates criticism. I've done that's required. Well, that's good. Jesus said, if you love them that love you. What's so special about that? You say, well, that's required. It says love one another, love them that love you. We love each other because He first loved us, and we love Him because He first loved us. As I've loved you, so love you one another. But He said, if you only love those that love you, what reward have you? You see, the first mile may eliminate criticism. But a second mile brings joy and praise. It elicits praise from God. It elicits reward from God. If you love them that love you, what reward have you? Even the heathen do that. But I say unto you, love them that hate you. Pray for them that despitefully use you. You see, the kingdom principles are entirely different. The first mile says, this is it. This is required right here. And that Jewish man on his way to town to take care of business and perhaps see to some things that were primarily time related that needed to be taken care of right then. And a hated Roman soldier comes by and says, hey, Jew, come here. I need a break. You carry my pack for the mile that's required of you. And he, murmuring, grumbling, complaining, says, all right, if I have to do that, I will. I'll have to do it, I will. And he gets to the end of his mile. He gets to the end of his 1,520 paces and he's counting them one by one. He's counting them everyone he goes. And he gets there and he says, there you are. Now go on your own. Jesus said, pick it up and carry it. Go along and say, by the way, how far are we? I don't know. Do you think we're there yet? He said, I'll let you know when we're there. He said, are we there? He said, that's it. That's enough. He said, do you mind if I go another one? Do what? You see, meeting the requirement is different. Now, whenever they get back in camp and what do you think? Who's going to tell what story? I said, man, I had the weirdest experience today you ever seen in your life. I had one of the Jews. I told him he was going to carry my pack, and I got him to carry my pack. And whenever we got to the end of the mile, he said, do you mind if I carry it another mile? You know what? There's something different about that individual. He had something on the inside that was different. Don't you think as believers we ought to be that way? You see, the first mile eliminates criticism, but the second mile elicits praise. Don't you know at the end of that second mile, that soldier turned around and said, sir, I want to shake your hand. You're a good man. You're a good man. Now, you didn't have to do that, and I really didn't need that. But I want you to know, I appreciate it. The second thing I bring to you, the first mile is legalism. Well, I did it. I did it. Well, I paid my dues this week. I went to church and I sat there and listened to all that stuff they had going on. Heard them talk about all these announcements they're making and all that kind of stuff and everything like that. I went there and I went through that and I put my offering in the plate. And I tell you what right now, I got through it. I fulfilled my requirement. That's legalism. But liberty says, wow, I had a good time in church today. God met with us. Man, I'm going back tonight. I'm going back tonight. I may even go on Thursday night. Can't never tell. I may get so excited about it, I go on Tuesday night. Yeah, I just, you know, I may pray we have another revival meeting so I can go every night. You say, oh, I don't know about all that now. In Philippians chapter 4, Paul is writing to the church at Philippi. What a wonderful, wonderful church at Philippi. And he writes to them, and in the end of the book, down in chapter 4, he's saying some very personal things. And at the time he's writing, he's talking about being after he left Philippi, he went to Thessalonica. And in Thessalonica, he's there, and it's a very difficult place. And the church in Philippi sent an offering for his needs. And he said, you sent an offering for my needs. And then you sent again an offering for my needs. And he said, that's just amazing. Would to God that in every area of our life, in serving the Lord Jesus Christ, every area of our life, but particularly in serving the Lord Jesus Christ I'm talking about today, would to God we get past the have to. Well, I guess I have to go. Well, I guess I have to do this. Well, I guess they're going to talk so much about journey over these next few weeks that the only way to get out to where I don't have to worry about it is to find something on here that I can do. Let me see. No. Bake cookies. I don't think so. Prayer team. I'll pray. I'll put that on there. Yeah. Okay. I'll put my name down there. Now, I'm not belittling praying. But somebody's got to bake cookies. And somebody's going to have to construct the scenes. And somebody's going to have to provide lunch for those that construct the scenes. Now, you know what will happen? I shouldn't say this probably, because I may do more harm than good right here. But it's just got to be. There's going to be some of these come in that's going to have four or five areas checked on them. And I say, well, now during the journey, Let's see, what can I do? If I'm an actor in a scene, what could I do if I'm an actor in a scene? That's going to require most of my time, I guess. But maybe I could do a little registration and greet until, you know, they start going out, and then I could get out there and be in my scene. Liberty is looking for opportunity. Legalism is just getting by with the bare minimum. And some people never enjoy their Christian life because they never get past the have to. And they never get to the point of, I get to. What can I do? Wow, this is a wonderful opportunity. They never get to that. The first mile is drudgery. The second mile is joy. I'm going to read some verses to you from 1 Peter. And these people were in a difficult place. If you read the epistles of Peter, you know that the folks he's writing to are going through suffering and persecution for the name of Christ and because of their testimony for the Lord. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations or testings, that the trial or testing of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. What a way to live! What a way to live. You would think that he's writing to people who just got a new house and a new car, and I'm telling you, they're living on Easy Street and everything is going wonderful and everything is smooth and there's no problems anywhere. Oh, those are the ones that have the joy unspeakable and full of glory. No. It's those who are now, if need be, in heaviness through manifold trials, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing. That's who he's writing to. He's writing to those who are going through difficulty, and yet in that difficulty, they are doing more than is expected. And it's not drudgery anymore. It's not, oh, I have to. It seems like that's, you know, all the time. Now, kids do that. But adults do that too. We do that in every area of life. And it carries over into our Christian life. It carries over into our life of service for the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to tell you something. If you could somehow get hold of this truth of the second mile Christian, you might become a second mile employee. You know what happens to second mile employees? They get raises and promotions. You know what happens to second mile students? They get good grades and kindness from their teachers. You know what happens to second mile athletes? They get playing time and scholarships. It's not those that do the bare minimum to get by. It's those that do the extra. You know what happens to second mile Christians? They get happy and smile and involved. They are the ones that people look at and say,
Wow, hey, how you doing, man? Appreciate you, everything like that. Well, I wish everybody liked me. I wish everybody, you know, it just seems like, well, go the extra mile. It's amazing what kind of attention you'll get. And you know why it gets so much attention? It's because so few people do it. But I'm going to tell you something. Our Lord is aware of everyone who does it. The first mile is done out of duty. The second mile is done out of love. Now, if you could just get that to where it moves from my duty as a Christian to love of the Lord Jesus Christ. The love of Christ constraineth me. Love does what pay would never do. I hesitate to use a personal illustration. But I met a doctor this week in the emergency room at DeLand Hospital. I met a doctor. Now, I know for me personally, you know, just because of the way I am and what I am, it's not naturally built into me to comfort. That's not part of my makeup much. But there I don't believe would be enough money to make me sit by a bedside as I did with my mom while she's screaming in pain for 3 hours with head injuries and a broken hip, and with her going through all of this, with her being bound to this backboard until they do the x-rays and until they do the scans to see what's going on. And with her pulling at the bandages that are holding her head still, and all of those things. I don't believe there's money to pay me to do that. But love does it. And a doctor that comes in, and he says, "Now, Mr. Reynolds," he said, "we're going to take care of your mama." And what a tender, compassionate man. And I talked to him just briefly with mother there in her condition. And he said, "I'm a believer. I'm a believer." And he said, "We know what's going on." And he said, "I'll be here with you and I'll help you through some decisions that have to be made." What tenderness. That's beyond what was required of him. And whenever we left, and mother moved from there to the hospice facility, I walked out and went with them and took care of some things, but I went back into the emergency room and I shook hands with him and I said, "Dr. Knight, I've been in a lot of emergency rooms and I've been with a lot of people in emergency rooms. I want to thank you for what you do for me." Beyond, I think of Christine McLaughlin. What would cause a lovely young lady whose dad has passed away and her mom is not well? She has siblings here that take care of her mother. But she leaves and goes to the Ivory Coast. After having finished her nursing degree, she goes to the Ivory Coast, to strange people in a strange land with strange customs, who do not really like her. To go there, to minister to them, to help them physically with strange diseases that are even contagious diseases. To go there, to help them physically in order that they might hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. What causes that to happen? That's an extra mile. Fact is, that may be a bunch of extra miles. That may not just be a second mile. That may be a third, fourth, fifth. I think of missionaries here, in this place right here, that have done the similar thing. Done the same thing in their youth. Left home and comforts. Why? Because they were knocking down a big salary over there in that country. No, not at all. Not at all. Not 1 month of it. But because they loved those people in that country? Not particularly. They loved the Lord. It's not necessarily that they had second mile love for those people, but they had second mile love for the Lord Jesus Christ. I could say a lot more. And I hope in your own heart that some things have been said from the Lord, not just from this preacher, but from the Lord to your heart. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.